Boker Tov. Shalom Lechem. Okay, we're in lesson number 9, section 9. We have a reading from Jonah, the first 3 verses of chapter 1 and the first 4 verses of chapter 3, which we'll find are somewhat parallel. So hopefully you had a chance to look at this over this last week. And to try and translate it, yep. So you all have the text, and then we've got some vocabulary help. Let's embark. Melody. To Jonah 1:1. Good. Vayihi devar Adonai el Yonah ven amitai lemor. Good. We might translate that, the word of the Lord came or was to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, or open quotation marks. When the word of the Lord comes to a prophet, the verb that's used is haya, with then the preposition l or el. So to be, to, haya is to be, but also really with the idea of being present to. So here, vayehi there, this continuing narrative form of the verb haya, even though it begins a narrative. So the word of the Lord was to Jonah, or came to Jonah, son of Amittai, saying. It's the first verb, but the first word, vayehi, is the verb hayah. It's continuing narrative form of the verb, third masculine singular.
How do you usually translate that thing?
Usually it gets put into English as the word of the Lord came to Jonah.
But that's the only instance it's used, that it's always God speaking?
Well, when the word comes to the prophet, yes, it's always the word of the Lord that comes to is to the prophet.
Why is it then?
Oh, because the previous syllable ends in a vowel. So, remember, it would be good to just review this. The Dagesh Lene, the weak Dagesh. So, weak Dagesh can go in 6 letters. Beit, Gimel, Dalet, Kaf, Peh and Tav, and the mnemonic for that is Begad Kafat. Right, so you can remember B, G, D, K, P, and T. Those are the letters, the 6 letters that take this Dagesh Lene. And there's a change then in pronunciation, at least for some of them. So a Beit with a dagesh in it is pronounced as a B. Without the dagesh, it's pronounced as a V. The other really different one is the pe. With the dagesh, is pronounced as a hard P. Without, is pronounced as an F. And so the rule is that if the preceding syllable is what we say open, which means it ends in a vowel, then there is no dagesh lene in this letter. If the preceding syllable ends in a consonant, then there is. So every syllable in Hebrew is either consonant, vowel, consonant, or consonant, vowel. Consonant, vowel, consonant is called a closed syllable. Consonant, vowel is an open syllable. And then this, a closed syllable, leads to the following letter has a dagesh lene. Now this dagesh doesn't change the meaning of the word. It just changes the pronunciation, particularly for a couple of these letters. And for the kaf, perhaps you can observe a slight difference in pronunciation as well. So that this, without the dagesh, it's a aspirated sound of the. With a open syllable, there's no dagesh. Okay. So in this case, the preceding syllable is na, yonah, and that the hey on the end of yonah there is looks like a consonant, but in that case, it's a consonant really functioning as a vowel. And the comet's hey, the end of yonah, is a vowel, so it's an open syllable. So the following bait then does not have a dagesh in it, and it is pronounced as V.
And you know it's functioning as a vowel because it is one of the guttural?
We know that it's functioning as a vowel because typically a final comet's hey is a vowel, unless that hey has a dot in it. Remember, sometimes we've seen a final hey has a dot in it? And that's telling us that hey, in that case, we're to take it really as a consonant, not as a vowel. So remember, there are three of these letters, yod, vav, yod, and hey, that do double duty. Sometimes they serve as consonants, sometimes they're serving as vowels, together with some other marking.
Say that again.
So three. So our letter Y, in English, our letter Y, you can treat as both a consonant or a vowel, right? And Hebrew has three letters like that. Hey, Vav, and Yod. And they began to be used before, and this is before, long before the Masoretes ever came up with a system of adding the vowel points. This happened before the time of Jesus, that this process happened. And the way it now works with the vowel pointings added by the Masoretes, hey is used as a vowel in conjunction with a final comet. So it's a comet's hey. Actually, I should say here, it's a final comet's hey. The vav can be used with a dot in it, and then it's called a shurek, so it's an u sound, or it can be a holom vav, which is a long O. Okay. So in both of those, the vav is functioning as a vowel in conjunction with marking. And then for the yod, it's a sere yod or a hirek yod. So a long E, A, or a long I, E. Well, actually, for the hirek yod, the dot is under the preceding consonant. So in these cases, these are all vowels. And we've seen that in some cases words can be spelled, for example, with a holom vav. They can be spelled sometimes with the vav, sometimes without the vav. And the holom will always be there. And then we call that defective spelling and full spelling of the word. And these three consonants, when they're serving as vowels, give you a piece of jargon here. These are called the matres lectiones, which means mothers of reading. So these were symbols, signs that, and this really was the point at which Hebrew had ceased to be really an everyday language, was a sacred language. Aramaic had become the lingua franca of the people, and these vowels then get added in, or these consonants get added in more liberally, serving as vowels to help people in their reading. And we can see from the Dead Sea Scrolls, which are 150 BC, that process is already well underway with the Dead Sea Scrolls. Okay? So a final comet's hey, of which occurs often will always be treated as a vowel, and then this shows up in the way that that then gets transliterated. So Yonah, for example, in that it's got two consonants that are serving as vowels. So this vav here, it's a holom vav, is serving as a consonant, and this kamatz hay is serving as a consonant. So that would then be transliterated like that. Actually, so in transliterating out, you'll notice that that vav and the hay don't actually feature in the transliteration. They're considered part of the vowels. Okay. Yes, so typically the final H does get rendered into English. Well, it's also, yes, it's the sort of baggage of transliterations being done many, many, many centuries ago. So it's always been Jonah with an H on it. Okay.
So on the yo, the left-hand one is pronounced as a, not yo.
Oh, the yod. And this too, the tsere should be under the preceding consonant. So it'd be a long e. Okay. Verse 2, Judy. Okay, so Kum Lake El Nineveh Ha'ir Hagudola Ukara Alea Ki Alata Ra'atam Lifanai. Can you translate that? So, arise, go. So, kum, lek. We had both of those. Those are imperatives. We have both of those in this lesson, number 9. Arise, go to Nineveh. Ha'ir ha'gudola, the great city. And one of the things we'll find in the book of Jonah is that everything is called as great. So, it's a great city, a great evil, a great wind, a great tempest, a great fish, and on and on. And call out against her, so aleya, that ah ending is feminine singular, because ear is feminine. And that's why gudola has a feminine ending on it, that kamatz hay ending, to agree with the gender of ear. Ki alat, ki, that, ra'atam, their evil, ra'a, evil. And then alata is from the verb ala, to go up. Their evil has gone up, and that alata there is third feminine singular, because ra'a is feminine singular, has gone up lifanai, before me. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so Allah is ayin lamed hay. So it's a third hay verb. And we've seen that sometimes for words that a final hay will change to a tav. So in this case, the final hay is changed to a tav prior to adding on the normal feminine singular suffix, which itself is a hay. Allah, yeah. Ayin lamed hay means to go up.
Ukra?
Ukara.
How do you know that the
You know, it's generally a long vowel will be followed. The shava following a long vowel will be a vocal shava and not a silent shava. Now, that means that you need to know what the long vowels are and what the short vowels are. So, might as well cover this. I'm not sure if Dobson gives this anywhere.
Yes, it's on page 348.
348, it'd be better to refer you there and just... Right. So, a distinction between short and long vowels. And vowels come in these various classes. So, what's called an A-class vowel, the A sound, a short A. And here we run into problems with our English because English is not a phonetic language, and we say A, and any phonetic-minded person will say, well, that's A is a long E. And so here we have this confusion between AE and I in the way that in English we just don't say those phonetically. So the A sound, short A is a patach, and long A is a kametz. So a kametz followed by shava, generally the shava will be vocal. A patach followed by shava, the shava will be silent.
And we don't distinguish between those two when we're reading?
Not really. No. The E sound, what we call an E, except that what we say is an E really is an I, and so on. So the short E is a segol, and long E is a tsere. So, and there we do E and E, E, tsere, segol. For the E sound, the I, short E is the hirek on its own, and long E is a hirek yod. For the O, short O is kametz hatuf, right? That's where that, what looks like a kametz is pronounced as a short O instead of a long A. And that's when it's in a closed, unaccented syllable, which you're not really going to understand until we start reading accented text. So like kol, and then a long O is either the holom or a holom vav. And then for the U sound, short U is the kibbutz. That's the three dots under a letter. And a long U is the shurek, which looks like a vav with a dot in it, which is what we have here, ukra. So that's a long U. So the shava following it will be vocal.
Which one is the I? Like a long I?
A long, it would be E, be the long hirek, the hirek yod. Hirek yod.
Oh, that we pronounce as I.
Well, now here we run into confusion. Are you saying I as Americans and British people would say I, or are you saying that as a phoneticist would say I? Because for them I is a diphthong, AI. That's how you get I. So the hirek yod is pronounced E, which is a long version of what to us is the letter I.
That's confusing.
Can you give me
the example for that? E, the hirek yod?
Yeah.
E, sim. Sim.
Sim.
Sim.
And
we had it here in verse 2, Nineveh. Nineveh. So in Nineveh, The first vowel is a hyrax yod, so it's a long I, so it's a long E. Nin. And then, which means the shva is going to be vocal, nin. And then a tsere, a long E sound, a nin, nin, ve.
So that's what doubles the nun, because it's nin.
Well, no, the nun isn't doubled. If the nun were doubled, there'd be a dagesh in the nun. The first syllable is ni. Ni, it's an open syllable. And then the second syllable is n. So nun with a shva. And then the final syllable is ve. Ve. Ni, ne, ve.
Yes.
Be a short I in English. Nineveh. Right. But Nineveh. Nineveh.
And how about a comet's yod? It's not in this table. So the I sound like I'll. If you have a comet's and then a yod.
Oh, right. That he doesn't cover. Yeah, that would, just, that would be pronounced as an I. I. Where we have, so it'd be a bit similar, like we have Van Amittai, that he's the son of Amittai. We have there a Patach Yod, and then also sometimes you have a Kametz Yod. So they would be really, really. That's almost that's pronounced really as a diphthong I.
I. So the yod there is function as a vowel.
The Amittai?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
So therefore, over there you have
E. Yeah, except actually, right, and in that case, well, it's behaving a little difficult. The best way I can explain this would be how that Amittai would be written out in transliteration. The way. So we begin with an aleph and then a composite shva, M-I-T, and in this case we've got a dagesh forte in that, and then in transliteration the y would actually be put in there, but it would be put in parentheses. It's not functioning as one of these metres lectiones, which the yod functions either with a stere or with a hirek. But nevertheless, it is functioning really as a vowel, but it'd be put in parenthesis. But that's all getting a little bit too technical for you at this stage of
Hebrew.
I. But I, again, this is... Well, again, getting technical because here we're getting into phonetics. But so this sound here is actually really a diphthong, and I is a diphthong, and you're rolling from an I, you're rolling from an A into an E, I. So it's really serving as a diphthong. Okay, remember how? I'm not sure, do diphthongs get taught anymore in schools as to how diphthongs, yeah?
Speech. Oh, in speech, oh.
But that's not a comic,
right?
Well, that's a Patach Hey, Patach Yod. Oh, well, yeah. So that's a Patach Yod. But we've also seen Kametz Yod at the end. And that's really, it's the same, and it's functioning really as a diphthong.
Can you pronounce that one again?
Amittai. So opening with an aleph, which is just a placeholder. It really doesn't have any sound. Then we've got a very short A. So the vowel under the aleph is a composite shva. It's the barest. It really should be a shva, but you can't put a shva under a guttural letter. You can't put it under an aleph, so it's a composite shva. Very short A, which is a very short vowel of any sort really sounds the same. A very short A sounds the same as a very short E, is the same as a very short whatever. It's just a, it's a minimal vowel necessary to get to the M. Amitai, dai, ai. So you say there at the end, that's that diphthong sound, ai. Amitai. Well, they'll both be pronounced I.
I.
And it's just, I can't really.
It would be a short vowel sound like a in English. When it, you know, when they use this here, they compare it to a short vowel sound in English. But I don't hear that sound in vowel, like in bell. And not that one, bad.
This is page 3. Mm-hmm.
So
I well, bag. That's a short ah, ba, bag.
Because we say ah, bag.
Uh huh.
So it wouldn't be ah. The difference between the ah and the ah.
Is it because he's burning?
Bag.
Bag. Well, yeah, so I would say bag. That's a short ah, ba, as opposed to. Huh? Bag? Bag?
Ah,
ah. Man, right, bag. Uh huh. And what's. Well, right, so there you're dealing with the fact. In Britain, you get massive changes in pronunciation across Britain, and there's a particularly huge difference between north and south of, the south of England and the north of England. And if you hear people say, I would say Bath, he'd say Bath. Now, I'd say Bath with a, that's because I'm from the north, and I would say it with a short A, he'd say it with a long, with a Bath,
well,
and
you
Path,
know,
and so on.
Want to make that really clear to students because they come with just the ah sound, and we want to make sure that they say the ah, like cat, and they say cut. The cut is there, and we say, no, oh, cat, ah, ah, ah.
Right.
So this is,
they
want to say banana.
Yeah, banana.
Potato on the top.
Well, so I at least bag, when I say bag, I hear I'm saying a short A. At least, that's what, to me, it sounds like. Whereas, yeah.
But do we ever say that sound in Hebrew?
What? Ah.
Pata. But this is the ah sound, not the sound. Ah. What they have in here.
Page 3
says that, like, yeah, then bad. No, I think the A meaning a short.
But he says A as in
B-A-T,
and we wouldn't say.
Yeah, so there's a confusion.
Okay, well, right, so there I'd say but. But.
Okay.
Well, yeah, so here the problem is, you say it's not an A sound. Really, strictly speaking, if we really want to be technical with this, we'd learn the whole thing in phonetics. And so you take a lesson in phonetics first as to what really is an A sound in phonetics. And there I've just said an A sound. Well, in phonetics, they would write that out, A as a long E. And then I've there just said E. Well, they'd write that out as a long I. And we have this problem that English is not at all a phonetic language. And this is what causes huge problems for people then trying to, foreign speakers who have spoken a phonetic language to then try and learn English. Because it's not a phonetic. It breaks all the phonetic conventions.
I was not happy with the use A and then, you know, but it's actually ah, it's not A. But then I get used to it very quickly.
Yeah, ah. Mm-hmm. And ultimately, the best is then just is listen to a native Hebrew speaker. And that's what we do in the Hebrew reading group, is when we're reading through a text, I then play a recording of a rabbi reading the text, who's a native speaker, so you hear then how they're pronouncing it. But we are rather limited because we haven't grown up speaking a Semitic language, and so we don't have these speech patterns, these phonemes, naturally imprinted onto our focal memory. Okay, back to Jonah 1. So, this last word, Liphani, is Dobson gives us some information about this. It's a composite word made up of several things in there. The root noun is panim, which means face, or then also means presence, because you're in the face of somebody, you're before somebody's face. The construct of it is pane. And so panim, the face of somebody, is always plural. Pane, the construct, the face of. In this case, it's panai, my face. My face. So that's yod ending is first common singular. And then with a lamed prefix to it, meaning sort of really before my face, in my presence. Okay? And he notes there at the end that it can be spelled either with a patach yod or a kametz yod at the end. Lefanai, lefanai. Okay, choice, verse 3. Okay. Vayakom Yona Livroach Tarshisha Milifne Adonai Vayered Yafo Vayimsa Ania Ba'a Tarshish Vayitain Sukara Vayered Ba Lavo Imahem Tarshisha Milifne Adonai. Okay.
The second to the last word.
Milifne. Okay. So then Jonah arose. Okay, good. He's doing what God told him to do. God said, arise, go to Nineveh. So he arose. Then, jarring note, to flee to Tarshish, which is way down the other end of the Mediterranean, completely the opposite direction of Nineveh, from the presence of the Lord. And he went down. So we're carrying on this narrative sequence, another continued narrative form of the verb. He went down to Yafo, what we know as Joppa. What today in Hebrew is Yafo, still immediately south of Tel Aviv, Israel's only port in the ancient times. And he found a ship or a boat, Ba'a. Ba'a is actually a participle, and it's feminine singular to agree with Oniya. Oniya is feminine singular noun. So Ba'a, going to Tarshish. And he gave, so another continuing narrative form, Vayitain, Sukara, her fare. So, and notice the dagesh, the dot in the hay, telling us that that's a consonant, not a vowel. So if it wasn't that mapik in there, you would take the comet's hay as being a vowel and think, oh, that's a feminine singular noun. Instead, it's telling us, no, it's the noun sakar with a hay ending, which is a feminine singular, third feminine singular pronominal suffix. her fare, the her referring to the aniya, the boat. Vayered, and he went down, ba, into her. So another dot in the hay telling us that's a consonant, to treat that as a consonant, not as a vowel, into her. To go imahem with them, that's presumably with all the other people on the boat, to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Okay.
I have a question.
Mm-hmm.
The two Tarshish with the Dagesh under the first, under the end in the ha. But then there's the middle Tarshish that doesn't have a Dagesh in it. Is that because the hay's not there? Or why?
Is it because the hay...
The hay is missing on that.
So why does it not have a directional hay on it when the first and the third instances do?
That's what I'm asking. And why is the Dagesh missing in the middle one?
Oh, the middle one, the Dagesh is missing because the preceding syllable, ends in is an open syllable. It ends in a vowel. The vowel, so that preceding word, the first syllable is ba. And the second syllable is an aleph and a comet's hay.
Okay.
So it ends in a vowel. So the following letter, being a bagat kafat letter, does not have a dagesh lene in it.
Okay.
Whereas in the first case, livroach tarshisha, preceding syllable ends in a chet, so it's a closed syllable. And then the final instance, imahem, it ends in a final, previous syllable ends in a mem.
Okay.
It's a closed syllable.
I just caught something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, wow.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Bernard, when it has, Aniyah, Ba'a, the Ba'a has a Dagesh, even though the previous word...
Right. So in that case, that would be treated as a Dagesh... Forte, a strong Dagesh. And other than that, why that is, I'm not entirely sure.
Yes,
yeah, aniya ba.
Why is it not ba'a? Because it's
followed.
Mm-hmm.
Is it
called? Ba'a. Instead of va'a. Ba'a. Mm-hmm.
It has to be ba'a and not just ba.
Well, I was asking why it doesn't have ba'a as opposed to ba'a.
Va'a. Mm-hmm.
Why doesn't it have the dash taken out? Because there's a...
Because it's a
vowel. Right, because the preceding... syllable ends in is an open syllable. So in that case, I don't know. Don't know there.
Does it have anything to do with the marker there? The mid marker?
Normally, it shouldn't. That's not really a major enough accent. It typically it gets reset. This idea of the closed and open syllable doesn't carry over the end of verse marker, and it doesn't typically carry over the athnat, which is the mid-verse marker. But it would carry over that accent. Okay, move on to chapter 3. Marilyn? Vayehi devar Adonai el Yona shenit lemor. Okay. The word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time, saying, virtually identical to verse 1, except we're not told anymore that he's the son of Ben-Amittai. We don't need to know, be told that again. And then we have added in this shenit a second time. So you may remember back when we were in lesson 2, Lesson two was shtayim. Shtayim. And then here we have a shinit, to mean a second time. So shnayim means two or both or a pair. Shnei, the second. Here we have a second time. Okay. And John? Good. Kum lech el Nineveh ha'ir ha'gudola u'kara elea et ha'kariya asher anochi dover elecha. Okay, good. So arise, go to Nineveh, the great city, and call or proclaim to her. And opinions are divided as to whether this is a significant difference from Aleya to Eleya, call against to now call to. Some people would say, well, they're really, really being synonymous. Others would say, no, there's a subtle difference from calling, pronouncing upon her, i.e. pronouncing doom, and here pronouncing to her in hope that she'll turn. The message or the proclamation, so notice Hakuria, so we have a definite, the article on the front, ha, and that explains the dagesh in the kof. And then kuriya, notice how the root of that is kara. So kof, resh, aleph. So even if you'd never seen that word before, you might think, oh, it's got something to do with kara, with calling, with proclaiming, with that. So in this case, it's the thing that is proclaimed, the proclamation. Asher, relative particle, which I, Anoki, so Anoki or Ani, personal pronoun, first singular, I, and then Dover, participle of speak, which I am speaking to you.
Why is the I Anoki, Anoki?
Instead of Ani? They're synonymous or interchangeable. No difference really between them.
Then why do they say Ha'ir and then Ha'gedolah, the city? Isn't Ha'da the city the great?
Mm-hmm. Right, but you remember long ago when we looked at the article, and this is early on in one of the lessons, it went through, if you put the article on the first word for the great city, you have to put it on the adjective as well. Mm-hmm. Yep. Remember that lesson? Right, and covering the adjective tov, and went through how the article. So, top of page 53. Okay. Vayachom Yona Vayelech El Nineveh Kedvar Adonai The Nineveh Hayata Ir Gedola Lelohim Mahalach Shloshet Yamim. Translate that. Okay, so then Jonah arose and he went to Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. So now he's finally being an obedient prophet.
The
as, like, as or like, or according to, like the word of the Lord, as the word of the Lord. Then we have a noun clause, now Nineveh, or Nineveh was a great city, So without the article, L'Elohim, to God. And here too, opinions are divided. Does this mean it was an important city in God's eyes? Or is the Elohim being used idiomatically to indicate emphasis? So Dobson has a little note there saying, good Allah, L'Elohim, exceedingly big, vast, and then Elohim is used idiomatically for emphasis. And if you were to compare the English translations, the various English versions, some would render it as a big city to God, i.e. important in God's eyes, and others would render it as just an exceedingly big city, taking the L'Elohim there as emphatic.
Like even God would think this was big?
Yeah, you even think this is even a God-sized big city, something like that, sort of, yeah. So, and then Mahalach Shloshet Yamim. We're told that Mahalach is a journey of. Notice that it's got there, Halach is the root, so it has something to do with going, right? And then a mem prefix, and we've seen that that often turns a verb into a noun. So you might be able to guess, okay, it's some sort of noun having built upon the stem Halach, having to do with going. And then Shiloshet, 3 days. Now, here too, people are divided. What does it mean that it's 3 days' journey, a journey of 3 days? Does that mean 3 days to get across it? In which case, this would be an enormous city because that would make it 70 miles across or so. Or, more probably, I think, that it would take really 3 days to go through the city and proclaim the word of the Lord. Going back and forth through the city to adequately cover it would be 3 days, which still would be a sizable place. Okay, and finally, Katie, verse 4. Okay, so, Vayachel Yonah Lavo Va'ir Mahalach Yom Echad Vayikra, Vayomar, Od, Arbaim, Yom, V'Nineveh, Nehpachet. We're helped, we've given some vocabulary by Dobson. Vayachel is he began, from the root halal. So then Jonah began. Lavo, to go, that's infinitive of bo, with a lamed prefix expressing purpose, so lamed plus an infinitive to for purpose, to go by ear in the city. Mahalach, there we go, that journey of Yom Echad, one day. So he's begun to go into the city here, this journey of one day. Vayikra, then he called out, Vayomar, and he said, open quotation marks, Od is still, Arbaim, 40, so we, back when we did lesson 4, that was lesson Arba is 4, here we have the plural form of it, which makes it 40, Day 40 days, and Nineveh will be Nehpaket, being overthrown, from the verb hafak, to turn over, destroy. So yet still 40 days, or 40 more days, and Nineveh will be overturned, overthrown. Okay, and that's the prophetic proclamation. That's the only thing that he says to Nineveh, proclaiming the word of the Lord, is just those 5 words. Okay. Okay, that's enough of Jonah for now. You see how these are parallel panes, beginning of chapter 1 and the beginning of chapter 3. Both cases, commissioned to go to Nineveh. First one, he's disobedient. Second one, he is obedient.
We missed the great fish.
We will eventually get that. Yes. Yes.
Will we ever go over the cancellation?
We will. We cover a bit of the cantillation next week in lesson number 10. So I think it would be good to go over that when we get to page 127 in lesson 10. And we'll learn about some of the cantillation marks. And then we'll go back over this sheet and the cantillation version and see how it's helpful to, in translating. Okay. Okay, section 10, a little bit of activation here. Number two, using the patterns mi chachem and ma ani, and the words from section 5, where we had the personal pronouns, say in Hebrew, who is like you? How would you say who is like you? Mi kechem, so it's actually what's given us there in the pattern. Mi, so mi is the question who, and kechem is the k is like, and the chem suffix you. So over in the right-hand column on page 112, you see 60% of the way down, kechem, like you, masculine, plural. Okay? You see that? And then how would you say, what am I?
Ma'ani.
Ma'ani, yep. That's the example that he gives us. Ma is the question, what? Ani is the short form of the personal pronoun. Ani or Anochi, first singular. What is his name? Mashmo. Mashmo. What is his name? Who is like us? Mi Kamonu. Yep. Mi Kamonu. Come on, what is he? Mahu. Mahu. Who is like them? Masculine. Well, mi kahem, mi kahem. What are you? Feminine singular. Ma'at, ma'at. Yep, feminine singular, at. Who is like her? Mm-hmm. Mi kamoha. Mi kamoha. Who is like me? Mm-hmm. Mi kamoni. Mi kamoni. And who is like you? Masculine singular. Mi kamoha. Mi kamocha. Mm-hmm. Good. Number three, using the pattern matov, how good, say in Hebrew, how small. Can you remember these adjectives? Mm-hmm. Okay, makaton. And how foolish. Makasil, and how great? Makadol. And those adjectives are given on page 50, beginning of lesson 5. Then we have a proverb, a mashal. Netzor bani mitzvat avika va'al titosh torat imecha ki ner mitzvah v'torah or. So netzor, observe, it's the idea of guarding, and netzar is to guard. So guard, my son, the mitzvah. Mitzvah is commandment. Here, mitzvat, the tav ending, is the construct form. The commandment of your father. So guarding it means doing it, keeping it, observing it. Va'al titosh, and do not reject. So al, remember there's two ways of making a negative, with lo and with al. And we're going to learn more about those in this next lesson. Do not reject the Torah, the teaching, there as a construct form. The final hey is turned to a tav. Imecha, your mother.
How did you get titosh? The dot above there is used twice?
Yes, the dot is used twice. Once as a holom, and once as a dot for sheen. Ki ner mitzvah, for ner is a lamp, the commandment, for the commandment is a lamp, the Torah, and the Torah, the teaching, is or light. And page 117. You have a question, John?
So you said or is light. Is that where menorah?
Yes, menorah. Well, menorah, I'm pretty sure, I think it comes from that. Yeah, it comes from or. Mm-hmm. Menorah. Page 117, we have some vocabulary. So repeat these after me. Bar, top left, bar is corn. Aye, aye, in question, where? That was part of one of the lessons, some of the questions we learned in this lesson. Me, who, or whoever. Karav, he came near. Kavats, he gathered together, from which we get kibbutz, where people gather together to live, a collective. Kibbutz. Shata, he drank. Kvots, an imperative, where the first syllable has shortened up. Kvots. Kahi, take. Another imperative from the verb lachach, where the lamed has disappeared off the front. Achal, he ate. Mate, he died. Rats, he ran. Now, and then ba, he came in. So all three of those words are only two consonants. There's a third consonant has disappeared for each of them. And in each case, it's the middle consonant, which is a vav. So they're full form. And we call these, when the middle consonant is a vav, we call them hollow verbs, because that middle letter readily disappears, leaves it hollow. Lavash, he clothed, he put on. Oh, so that means for like mate, rats, and ba, if you were to look them up in a lexicon, so in a dictionary, the first one would be mem, vav, tav. Second would be resh, vav, tzade. Third would be bait, vav, aleph. Mati, I died. Ra'u, they saw. In that case, it's the third hey verb, so the final hey has disappeared. Lama. Lama, question why. Kelev. Kelev is dog. So Joshua and Caleb went into the land. This is Caleb, that means dog. Kavar. Kavar, he buried. Pakad. Pakad, he visited. So this is a word that's used when God visited his people with judgment or salvation. It's sort of the big boss coming, showing up to come and visit his people. Po. Po is here. Ma. Ma is what? So we've had me is who and ma what. Karav. Karav, come near. So we had over to the left of that. Karav, he came near. Now we have the imperative, which is shortened up the first syllable, Karav. Shamar. Shamar, he kept, he guarded. Shte. Shte, drink. So similar thing there. Shata, he drank. Shte, the imperative, short first syllable. Shmor. Shmor, same thing for an imperative, short first syllable. Kach. Kach, take. So we had kachi, the over to the left, the feminine singular imperative. Now kach, the masculine singular imperative. Echol. Echol, eat. There too, the first syllable is shortened up, short vowel. Shave. Shave, sit down from yashav. So in that case, the first yod has disappeared. Lech. Lech. Go from halak. The first hey has disappeared. Redu. Redu. Go down. Imperative. The first yod has disappeared. It's from yarad. Kiper. Kiper. He covered. He atoned for. This is where Yom Kippur. The Kippur is it's the day of covering. Where God sort of covers for sins. Yamot. Yamot, let him die. Now, we haven't yet seen that form, this idea of let him. It's what will be called a jessive, which we will encounter in the next lesson. Chai. Chai is alive. Rov. Rov is a multitude. Pekod. Pekod is the imperative visit. Similar, we had the verb pakad, and here for imperative, shorten that first vowel. Ro'i, ro'i, my shepherd, and the root of that is a third hay noun, and the hay has disappeared. Bama, bama, high place. Rash, rash is poor. O means or. Kedem. Kedem, what is in front of you or what is to the east. The way that directions work in Hebrew, it's assumed that you are facing east. And so east is what is in front of you. West is also the word for back. One of the words for north is left, and one of the words for south is right. So you're viewed as facing east, north on your left, south on your right, and west at your back. And kedem can also be the time that has passed. So you're viewed as looking into the past. And then one of the words for time, for future time, is what is behind you. It's, yes. Well, we look at time the other way around. So past time is what is behind us, and future time is what is ahead of us. Hebrew is the other way around. Yes. Okay, yes. Well, so kedem is what is past in time, but it's what's in front of your face. And acher, which means behind, is what is still to come. What is behind you, i.e. still in the future. Bad. Bad, separation or part. Kol. Call every or all, and we've seen that can be spelt like that, or the holam can be a holam vav, so with the vav spelt fully, the vav functioning as a vowel. Dor. Dor, generation or age, as can be used in the sense of to every generation, from generation to generation, and so on. Bat, daughter. Dod. Dod is beloved person or uncle. And David's name comes from this, David, a beloved. And this then is what's used in Song of Songs for I am my beloved and he is mine. Levado. Levado, on its own or by himself. So that few words up above, we had bad, separation or part. This is now levado. So it's made up of three words, lamed prefix, vad, separation, and then o, third masculine singular suffix. Pe? Yes?
The call, every o, we use the
shoot. And sometimes it can have a short kamatz hatuf. But it will only have the kamatz hatuf if it's followed by a hyphen.
That
bridle. If it's followed by a hyphen. So kol, different ways that kol will be spelt. It can be spelt like that, or with a holom vav. So kol, and this we call, fortunately this is called the defective spelling. It's really an unfortunate title. And this is called the full spelling. Full with a holom vav. And then if it's where we'll often find it is then joined on to another word with a hyphen, this bridle, this meteg, and then the vowel changes to a short O, kol. Matai, when, often encountered in the form ad matai, until when, in the sense of how long, O Lord, often in the Psalms. Eved. Now, notice that means servant, and it's got two sigils, so two short e, sounds eved, and that class of nouns, the accent's always on the first syllable. Eved, whereas usually the accent's on the last syllable, but there it's Eved. Ravav, it became abundant, it became much. We saw Rav, meaning much, earlier, and this is the verb. Bame, how. Lave is heart. And sometimes that too just has two letters. Sometimes it's spelt with three letters with a second bait. So lamed bait. And it's a class of words, come from a class of verbs that we call geminate meaning twin, where the second and third consonants are the same. They're twinned. And sometimes you have one of them, sometimes you have two of them. Chitz is an arrow. Bakar, cattle. Derek, another of those sigilate nouns, two sigils, accent on the first syllable. Derek meaning way or road. Eitz meaning tree or wood. And it can be a collective, so it can refer to one tree, it can refer to a bunch of trees, it can refer to the collective idea of wood. Har meaning a hill or a mountain. Yerek, another sigilate noun. Green or greenness. Eretz, another one, land or earth. Adam meaning man. Rav, oh, there we get Rav, many, derived from the verb ravav, to become many. Kever, another sigilate meaning tomb. And notice that's related to the bottom left, kavar, he buried. So you are buried, kavar, in a kever, a tomb. And then re'i, my friend, re'i. These sigilant nouns at the end of a verse or at the midway marker of a verse, they switch into what's called a pausal form. Remember I talked about this last week, I think, or one of the weeks. So if we have kever, and at the end goes into a pausal form, kaver, where the first sigil changes to a kametz, kaver. We've seen that often with eretz to aretz. Eretz to aretz. And the accent is still on that second last syllable. The accent stays on the same place, but it lengthens from kever to kaver. And it really happens. So like we will lengthen our syllable at the end as we're approaching the end of a sentence. The same thing is happening here as we're approaching the end.
But we're not to say kaver.
Not to say kaver, no, it's kaver.
Kaver.
Yes, it's only when it's and pausal conditions happen, and this gets covered a bit more in the next lesson. At the end of the verse, which is marked by a sof pasuk, that's sort of this little diamond, two diamonds at the end of a word, end of a verse. It looked like a colon, and then there'll be a little line there. And then the other one is if that mark and the afnak. Those are the two major divisions, and those produce pausal forms. But that'll be covered more in the next lesson. Kever, kever, and kaver, kaver. So kever, two short e's, and kaver, long a and the short e. Okay, and finally, page 118, number 6. Dobson invites us to sing something. We don't have to sing it. It's Bunesen. Won't mean anything to do. Bunesen is the tune for Morning Has Broken. Bunesen is a little village on the Isle of Mull in Scotland. So, beginning of Psalm 8. Ma adir shimcha b'chol ha'aretz. Ma adir shimcha adonenu natata hodcha al hashamayim. Ma adir, that's missing a vowel there. Ma adir shimcha Eloheinu. So let's all read that together. Ma adir shimcha b'chol ha'aretz. Ma adir shimcha Adonenu, natata hodka al hashamayim, ma adir shimka Eloheinu. And the tune Bunesen works for that. So ma adir, adir, great, powerful, majestic. I'll take it as being majestic. Ma, what, the question, what? So really here the idea of how majestic Shimcha, your name, b'chol ha'aretz, in all the world, in all the earth. Ma'adir Shimcha, how majestic your name, Adonenu. So Adon, Adonai, Lord, Adonenu, our Lord. Natata, you have given, but Natan can be used in the sense of also you have put, you've given in the sense you've put in place, you've hodcha, your glory, hod, al hashamayim, above the heavens or upon the heavens. Ma'adir shimcha Eloheinu, how majestic your name, our God. Okay. And that brings us to the end of lesson 9. And a little note here, before you start lesson 10, review 7.12.2. Which is on page 86, which is the imperatives, right? So remember the standard, the pattern for an imperative, we'll just look over the first one, shmor. Second masculine singular, shmor. Shmor, so a very short first syllable with a shva, shmor. Shimri, feminine singular, shimri, so that e suffix. Shimri, shimru, shimru, masculine plural, u ending, and then shmorna, shmorna, feminine plural, the four imperatives. And you just look through that list over this coming week, and they all pretty much follow the same pattern, okay? And then lesson 10, we'll learn more about imperatives and requests. And we'll also learn a little bit about accents, cantillation. And then we'll have a reading to do from 1 Kings 21. So I'll pass that out.